Genesis chapter number 26, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of, sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." That'll be all the scripture we read this morning, but I will be dealing with other verses in this chapter, so you can keep your Bibles open. But I want to preach for a little bit this morning on the subject of facing a famine and how to face a famine. We're living in crazy days, and I don't know if you could classify what we're dealing with and living through as a famine, but it's surely produced some of the same qualities and qualities of life as famines found in the Word of God. And before we begin, there's two main reasons and purposes of a famine, and two things that cause them that I find. Number one is war. If you read in the Word of God, you'll see during wartime, the enemy would burn the homes and the fields and trample and ransack the fields and the gardens of the land, destroy all the food supply, and therein create a famine. And I'll just say, with that in mind, the devil will also give all of hell your address and wage war on you and your family and everything that you hold dear and that's associated with you. And therein, in life, we too face famines. Then the second one, not only war would create famine, but weather. The weather was known to create famine. And when there's no rain, it causes drought and famine. And sunshine that was normally a blessing becomes a burden as it scorches the fields and the fruit of the day. And it's during these dry times of life and the dusty times of our life that we classify as famine, when we are apt to make poor decisions, and I'll say more about that, and actually run from the famine that we're facing out of God's will and make a mess of our life. And over and over through the Word of God, and I'll mention a few of these this morning, you'll see where people faced a famine and they found themselves in a famine, and the instinct is to run, to get away and to try to find greener pasture. But nine times out of ten, as you read through the history of the Word of God and see where these people found themselves facing a famine, as they run and made poor decisions, they ended up getting themselves in worse trouble than had they just stayed and faced the famine that were in front of them. But here we read about Isaac, and Isaac is facing a famine. And as you read the story, you will see that Isaac faced the famine. He didn't run. He faced it proper, and he faced it correctly. And so I want to Isaac faced his famine and learn what we need to do during the famine times of our life. And most people find failure when they see famine, but Isaac shows us that we can find faith in famine and victory in famine, as he did. And so thoughts this morning: how do we face famine? And I won't labor these points long, but I do want to say, number one, Isaac stayed in the famine. He did not run. He did not take up his stakes and find greener pasture. He stayed. Look at verse number 2 and 3. The Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down to Egypt, into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of." Verse 3 said, sojourn in this land. God told him, though there's land all around you, I don't want you to go down to Egypt. I want you to dwell right where you're at. I want you to sojourn in this land, though there's a famine facing you. God told Isaac to stay in the famine. And when famines come into our life, when life gets tough and we're tempted to flee and to run to find greener pasture, famine will come into our families and into our finances, into our marriages, our relationships with our children, into our church, in every aspect of life. On your job, you can find yourself facing famine. And it's important that we understand how to handle it. Number one, Don't run. Stay. Stay the course. And as Isaac did, it's like I said, it's built into us. It's our second instinct. It's natural, a natural desire for us to bolt and to take off when we see hard times and famine. But usually that leads to our demise. And I say be very careful about making a decision when you're facing famine, because usually we make the wrong decision when we're facing a famine in our life. If you'll, the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6, and there was a verse number 25, and there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. So what does that mean? That means that life had got so bad that they were willing, and the famine had got so real and so severe, they were willing to pay top notch for the head of an ass, to eat off of. I've eaten spam before, and I've eaten potted meat sometimes when ain't nothing to find to eat, but I can't imagine myself going and looking for a donkey's head to want to eat on. But here they was, and they was paying top dollar for the dung of a dove. Famine will cause us to act abnormally. It'll cause us to do things we never dreamed we would do. 2 Kings goes on in chapter 6, verse 28. Listen to this. Talking about outrageous. Talking about doing things out of the ordinary. Listen to how desperate they got facing this famine. And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today." Not eat with him, that we may eat him today. "And we will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, "Give thy son that we may eat him." And she hath hid her son. Do you see? They had resorted to cannibalism. They had went way out of the norm because famine caused them to be so desperate. And when you get hungry enough and in our weakness, we are prone to make terrible decisions. I mean, they had resorted to eating children and their children. And do you see how outrageous people can become during times of famine? So it would behoove us to be careful as we're facing these times and these hardships, not to make decisions on the fly, but be careful about the decisions that we make. I've watched people talking about how outlandish these people were acting. I've watched people in the house of God, at the church house, and they go through times of famine and hardship and hunger. And I've watched good people, I mean dedicated Christian people, get in tough times and seasons of famine, and I've watched them make horrible mistakes, decisions they would have never made on a normal day, in normal circumstances, but nevertheless poor choices that would plague their life for the rest of their life and years to come. So I say be careful of making any decision when you're facing a hardship and a rough time in your life. And don't be so quick to run. I want to say to you this morning, as plain as I can, if you are in a time of famine and an emotional drought, a long time hardship, a time of heartache and hunger, that is no time to make a decision. Not a time for choices. It's time to buckle down and do what you know to do, but it's a time to trust God and stay where you are and wait on God to move in the hardship. And it is so tempting to pack up and to leave a famine. But if we go back to the first mentioned principle in the Word of God, we see Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 faces the first famine in the Word of God. And Abraham packed up and left and moved to Egypt. And what was the first thing we find him doing? This honorable man, this man of integrity. We find him lying about his wife and her age and who she was. He was so afraid that the Pharaoh and the men of high didn't want his wife because she was so beautiful. But we see that Abraham began to lie, "This is not my wife, this is my daughter." And so Famine calls us to make crazy decisions and irrational decisions, and it's not good to run. Again, if you read through the Word of God, you'll see where people make poor decisions when they choose to run away from where God has called them to be. I wrote this down. Abraham should have been praising God because he was worried the men of Egypt was going to take Sarah, his wife, because she was so pretty. Now keep in mind, Sarah at this time was around 90 years old. He should have been praising God that somebody wanted to take his wife at 90 years old, considering her age. But nevertheless, it was a hardship. And I say this, if your wife is anywhere close to 90 and you're worried about other men taking her because she's so beautiful, then praise God about. He heads out to Egypt to flee famine and immediately puts his and his wife's life in danger and sells out his integrity, his honor, and he starts making poor decisions. He left the place of God, the place that God had him, because it got hard, only to find he not only left the place God had him, but he lost the morals in his morals in the process, simply because he wasn't willing to stay in a famine and face the hardship. In the book of Ruth, you go on and read, we find another family that fled famine and a hard time come and no food and nothing of substance. So you remember Abimelech and Ruth, Abimelech and Naomi, they got up and got their sons Mahlon and Chilion, and they headed out for the land of Moab. And they're just 25 miles down the road away from Bethlehem, and they run out of the place that God had for them. And you remember Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, and her husband Elimelech, excuse me, and her two boys, they left and moved. And I say this, they were trying to avoid the famine. But they, listen, you can't avoid a famine. The famine will follow you. If you're out of God's will, if you're leaving the place where God's called you to be, you cannot outrun a famine. It will follow you. One man said it like this: no matter where you go, there you are. It's not the famine, it's you. It's the place that God's called you. Their famine followed them, and now Elimelech dies, Mahlon, Chilion, the two boys die, and one of Naomi's daughter-in-law forsakes her, and Naomi's living alone, broken and bitter in a foreign land after the burial of her entire family. And after all this tragedy and heartache, it's then she hears that there's bread in the city of Bethlehem, right where she had just left, right where her husband uprooted her and her two boys and fled to get away from the famine. Now, that's the very first place that she hears that the blessing of God is, that there's food and there's bread back in Bethlehem. And so, only 25 miles away, but Naomi was learning a hard truth. You can be a little way out of the will of God, but be a long way out of the blessings of God. She was just a short piece away from where she started, but she was all the way out of the blessings of God. And when you try to fix your famine all by yourself, and when you try to straighten out your own struggles, you will end up in a place where God cannot bless you, and where the blessings and favor of God is only a memory. If you run from the famine, if you don't stay, if you don't get anything else this morning, please put this in your heart and don't ever forget it. When a famine comes, stay where you are. When it gets hard, don't run. When it gets tough, stick it out and stay put, and don't let trouble drive you away from the presence and the place of God. I say stay where you are, even when it's hard. Somebody says, I'm going to get out of this marriage, it's just too hard. Well, it was good when you yoked up with them. There wasn't anything wrong with your marriage when you started, or you wouldn't have started it. So what did you do to it is the question. Some will say, I can't take these kids anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Well, they're just acting like their mom and daddy. So invest in them. I got to get out of this job and find a better one. Do you think there's any country, or the world for that matter, where you going to walk in the morning and click the time clock, and they're going to be singing Victory in Jesus and reading from a King James Bible and shouting glory? I work here at the church, and that don't happen here. You're not going to find a perfect place to work. Just stay where you're at and invest in where you're at. You cannot outrun a famine, so we must learn to hunker down by the grace of God and stay where God put us in spite of a famine. So number one, Isaac stayed in the famine. Number two, look at number 12. Number two, Isaac sowed in the famine. The Bible says in verse 12, then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The famine's still in effect. Nothing's changed. Isaac's still there in the famine, but Isaac didn't move, and he's still facing the same thing that he was facing. And if anything, it had gotten harder. The food had gotten more scarce. But rather than packing up and fleeing, he decided to invest what little he had and has left and trust God, and he ain't moving, but he's sowing where he's at. He made a choice to stay. He made a choice to sow. If you're going to stay, then sow where you stay. Don't stay and then spend talking about what you could have done if you had left. No, just stay and stay 100%. Give it all you got where you're at. Invest in where you're at to make it a better place. That's what he did. And he took the best of a bad situation and invested in the place that God had placed him. If you're going to stay, then stay all the way. Hang up the resentment, the what-ifs, and the could-have-beens, and just determine in your heart that leaving ain't an option, and you're committed to staying, because you will never invest in a place where your heart isn't. And you will never sow in a place where you are not sure you will be when the crops come up. So stay, 100% stay, and sow where you're at. Start working where you are. Start plowing. Start planting right where you are. And trust God that though it's bad now, you're going to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. I mean, they are right in the middle of a famine, and Isaac calls the local John Deere of his day and orders two new tractors, and he calls the temp agency, the temp firm down the road, and hires double what he hired the year before, because Isaac knows something that we need to learn, and that is that things don't last forever. He's investing in where he's at to build a bigger and brighter day. And it may be dry today, but tomorrow's coming. It may be dusty now, but there's clouds gathering that'll bring rain. It may be dark right now, but the morning's coming. The sun will shine again, and life will go on. So keep sowing, because there's a better day coming. And if you're going to stay, and you should, then you might as well sow where you're at. Psalm 126, verse 5, the Bible says that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, and with rejoicing bringing his sheaves with him. Do you know why it is a precious seed? Because there wasn't much of it. That's why it was precious. And I know most of us here barely have any emotion left. And at the end of 2020, there's barely any emotion left. We've been depleted and depressed. But I want to say, plant that seed anyway. You may have to plant it with a tear in your eye, but you will reap it in rejoicing in your heart. There's some mamas and some daddies that have prayed and prayed, and it seems like the harder you pray, the further your children get in sin and in the far country. But keep on sowing into their lives, because according to God's Word, the harvest will come. Don't throw away what God has given you. But keep it and keep sowing, and you will be glad you did. Those seeds we planted in tears, we will reap in rejoicing. So we see, number one, Isaac stayed. And number two, Isaac sowed in the famine. And then finally, we see that Isaac found success in the famine. Look at verse number 13. Genesis 26:13. The Bible says, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. The Bible says them three words. He went forward. He went forward. Now, he didn't leave. He stayed where he was. The Bible says, even where he forward. He didn't leave where he was looking for success, but I'd like to say, listen this morning, if you'll stay and sow where you are, success will come find you. You won't have to go find it. You don't have to run down the blessings of God. If you'll stay faithful where you are, the blessings of God will find you and run you down. He found success and moved forward even though he stayed where he was. There's a blessing to sticking with it. In this day we're living, it seems like everybody quits. You can't hardly find anybody that'll stick with it, whether it's a job, a marriage, a church, in the blank. People just, they quit just as fast as they start. And there's a blessing to sticking with it. There's a benefit to staying faithful, especially when it gets hard. God didn't bring the famine into your life to destroy you. He brought the famine in your life to develop you. Maybe God allowed the famine to destroy what you were trusting in so that you could trust Him, not in the things that you had. People, money, land, and possessions can sit on the throne of our lives, and God will send a famine so that those things can be removed and He can once again sit on the throne of our heart. And it wasn't to hurt us, but it was to help us. The famine wasn't sent that we might find success. The famine was sent that we might find success, not outside the famine, but right in the middle of the famine. Isaac never left, he never packed up, moved, but right in the middle of the famine, God gave this man success. Let me give you a couple of verses I found fascinating. The Bible says in Job, speaking of God blessing in the famine, not before, not after, but right in the middle of. Job chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, "In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword." He said, "In famine he shall redeem thee from death." Psalm 33, verse 19, "To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." Psalm 37, 18, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." Every verse that I just read, every verse come right out of the Word of God, every promise, we're not speaking of after the famine or down the road, but right in the middle of famine, God has promises to protect and preserve His people. You don't have to wait for help after the famine. You can have help right now. You can find success right now. Today, in the middle of famine, you can have success. I close with this story, illustration, I think I may have given it before, maybe not here, but during the Civil War, there was a man named Edmund McKinney, and Edmund McKinney lived in a place called Avery Island, Louisiana. And 12 years before the Civil War began, there was a man come up out of Mexico and brought Mr. McKinney a bag full of peppers, and he liked took to them, and so he saved them, took some of the seeds and planted those seeds and those peppers, and plants turned into gardens and gardens turned into fields of these peppers. The Civil War came and it got right in the middle of it, and so people of this area, they had to flee and go live in Texas for a 3 or 4 years. And when the war was over, all the people began moving back home, and their house and lands were gone. Everything had been destroyed. And Mr. McKinney come to his part of the town, and he saw everything gone, houses, fields. But there was one field that had just peppers galore. They didn't touch the pepper field. And so that was really all that he had left. And so Edmund McKinney looked at his wife and assessed the situation and what they had left, and he found a barrel of vinegar that had been sitting for over 3 years. And he put those crushed pepper and crushed and ground peppers into the vinegar into that barrel. And he went to the salt mine in the town and got salt and dumped that into the barrel. And he began stirring and mixing. He made a hot sauce. And that hot sauce, he got it to taste that he liked. And people in the town started liking it. He began passing it out. Well, one day he was down at the town dump, at the trash dumpster, and he found 350 bottles, perfume bottles, little glass perfume bottles that had been discarded. And he brought them home, washed them, and he began to put that sauce, that hot sauce, into those 350 models, and he began to go around to the town, the towns outside of his town and the small villages, and began selling those 350 bottles of perfume, bottles of hot sauce. And that company became known as the Tabasco Company. It's privately owned by, it was, it started by this man, Edmund McKinney, but now it's been five generations. It's a private company, five generations still in that family. And the last report I seen was over $200 million in one fiscal year of hot sauce, Tabasco hot sauce, they had sold in a year. And all that $200 million annually, fifth generation business, all because one man, Edmund McKinney, was facing a famine, and rather than upstate like most of the people of that town did and moving to Louisiana or to Baton Rouge or to New Orleans, Texas, he stayed right there in his hometown. He stayed and he sowed and he invested in where it was hard, but he stayed and built something and become a great success. And I simply say, when it gets hard, stay when it's hard, and sow where you're at. Invest in where you're at, because if you sow now, that crop will come up and God will give you success. If you run the rest of your life, you will never invest anything. You'll never have anything to show for your life. So stay, even when it's famine, even when it's hard, stay. Sow, and you will find success with the help of God. Let's bow. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this portrait of a life, God, in the face of famine, Lord, that Isaac has given us. Lord, three powerful truths, Lord, simple but powerful, Lord, that we could all learn from this morning. God, help us to just, God, when it's our instinct, when it's our gut to get up and run and go, God, help us to just stay, Lord, stand still, God, and be still, Lord, even when it's hard. God, help us to sow right where we're at, invest in the places and the people, God, that you've given us. God, help us, Lord, that we would find success. God, I pray your blessings would be upon us. God, you've never left your children alone, God. The sun will shine again. Lord, this all too will pass, God. And I pray you'd help us, God, in these hard days, Lord, to stick it out, God, to stand firm. And God, I pray your success would be upon us. Lord, I pray you'd bless your church, Lord. Thank you for our church. Help us, God, Lord, in these days, Lord. Help every family, God, every soul, God, that's represented here today. God, I pray you'd bless them. God, I pray, Lord, if there's any lost here today, God, I pray you'd save them, Lord. God, if we can help any of them, I pray you'd bring them to us, God. Thank you for all that have come out this morning. God, thank you for a beautiful morning you've given us to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, I pray you'd bless us, keep us safe this week. God, until we come to meet you again, we love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.